New South Wales police have spent a fifth day digging up a patch of bushland in the Royal National Park on the southern outskirts of Sydney, searching for the body of Matthew Leveson, who disappeared in 2007. Matthew Leveson's partner at the time, Michael Atkins, took police to this site, and he'd been given immunity from prosecution in exchange for information about where the body was buried. Michael Atkins was tried and acquitted of Matthew Leveson's murder back in 2009, which means he can't be retried without compelling new evidence. But he was forced to appear at a coronial inquest this month, during which he admitted to lying, and that left him open to perjury and contempt of court charges. Police then struck an immunity deal with Michael Atkins, which was agreed to by Matthew Leveson's family and sanctioned by the New South Wales Attorney General, Gabriel Upton. It's a very unusual arrangement, and it's not quite clear if it closes the door on any future charges over Matthew Leveson's death. Greg James, QC, is a former Supreme Court judge and Royal Commissioner who's returned to the bar. Greg, thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast.
It's a pleasure, Fran.
The immunity, I'm just trying to understand the processes here. It's pretty confusing. The immunity given here, is it immunity against the charge of perjury and contempt of court, or is it immunity against a greater charge?
At the coroner's inquest, when Mr. Atkins was called to give evidence, under the Coroner's Act, the coroner gave him a certificate, which means that the evidence that he gives at the coroner's inquest and things derived from it can't be used against him in a prosecution unless he commits perjury. Then it can be used to prove the perjury or a false swearing. That only protects what he does, in effect, in the coroner's inquest.
Mm-hmm.
The Attorney General has, however, now granted, I understand, a further immunity. I don't know the full detail of it, but it seems to turn upon the disclosure of the whereabouts of the body, which would protect him against being prosecuted, even for the perjury, and perhaps for additional matters. Of course, if there is no fresh and compelling evidence, then there's no prospect of going behind the already existing acquittal. So it's a very interesting and, as far as I know, completely unique situation.
Okay. So we're trying to get to sort of why we're in this situation, because we know a lot about cases of immunity given to accomplices in exchange for evidence against a chief suspect. But as you say, this is different. This is unique. And presumably it's about the police and the Attorney General wanting to try and turn up some new evidence in a case that's been really they've had nothing since 2007 in terms of trying to find a body. So would this have been at the urging of the family, do you think, of the missing person?
Look, I can't speculate as to where it came from, except to say that, interestingly, in modern times in criminal law, there's been a deal of focus on finding the bodies.
Yeah.
Bradley John Murdoch in the Northern Territory has been urged to find the body, Peter Falconio.
Yeah.
There's also been cases in which it's been suggested that parole should be denied to people who have been convicted of murder unless they produce the body. There's recently been Justice Michael David in South Australia who's urged a person convicted of murder who's said to be responsible for earlier murders to put an end to the process by producing the body. There's been a focus on these things, and it seems that in this case, after all these years, it's become a matter of very great importance to the family.
Yes, and we have to be very careful what we apply and assume here, I suppose. But if Michael Atkins had any information about where the body was, I suppose in terms of the police investigation, that's the only site left for them to go searching for clues, for evidence.
Well, I don't know whether it's the only site left, but certainly...
Well, that they know of, or they would have done it by now.
Well, yes, but it is reported, whether accurately or not, that he did give an indication of that site, the National Park, though cross-examination at the inquest by counsel assisting does seem to have raised the probability that everybody expected it to be the National Park for some considerable time.
Right. So just trying to get at why we're in this situation. Have we partly got to this situation now because normally coronial inquests are held before a trial? In this case, the coronial inquest has nothing to do with it?
No, we don't hold coronial inquests before murder trials. In fact,
right.
What we do is adjourn the inquest, have the trial, and then look to whether it's necessary to resume it. We don't want the coronial inquest, which is essentially an inquiry into the nature and cause of death, compromising the justice we deliver in the justice system by holding criminal trials.
I see. Okay. So in this case, we have one person, Michael Atkins, who's been tried and found not guilty of the murder. So under double jeopardy laws, is that what we call it here in Australia, this person can't be charged again unless there's new, fresh and compelling evidence.
Well, double jeopardy meant you couldn't be charged even then. We've got over that by amending the Act to allow the Court of Criminal Appeal to authorise a second trial in the event of the finding of fresh and compelling evidence. That's new and important evidence.
Right. So in this case, if the site of this body of this young man, Matthew Leveson, is found, and if there is fresh and compelling evidence that might point towards the person who's already been found not guilty once... normally, that could cause a reopening of another trial or a second trial, but will the immunity stop that? Can we say that for certain?
Well, Fran, I don't know that we can say normally because it's such an unusual situation, but I don't know what the content of the immunity is, but if it is an immunity from the prosecution for murder, the Attorney-General's immunity can prevent a further trial, yes. That's if that's what the attorney has granted.
If that is what the Attorney-General has granted, in your view, should that be public knowledge?
Look, frankly, the detail of it and the negotiations relating to it in the public interest might need to be kept under wraps, particularly if there is any prospect of a future trial. But the overall circumstance of it probably should be disclosed. There's an article in the Sydney Morning Herald this morning by Nick Cowdery, the former New South Wales DPP. There's been speculation in the newspapers all over the place. It's not healthy for the Attorney General's role in this sort of event to be the subject of this sort of speculation.
Mm. What is the I mean, what is the tone of the speculation? That this is improper? I mean, when you say it's not healthy for the role of the Attorney General's reputation?
Well, people seem to be thinking that it is improper or strange or weird. There's no adequate explanation given to them as to how appropriate it was in the public interest for the Attorney General to take such a course as she has. And, of course, that's the test, whether the granting of the immunity is in the public interest, not whether it's of some special or particular benefit to this particular gentleman, Mr. Atkins.
No, but presumably the Attorney General didn't do it. Well, there's two things. Stepping back a bit again, back to the coronial inquest, Michael Atkins maintained his right to silence at his trial and then refused to give evidence at the inquest. So in order to compel him to give that evidence, presumably the coroner had to offer the first level of immunity.
Well, that's precisely what the Act provides the coroner the power to do.
And then the Attorney General offered the second level of immunity. Presumably, do you think would that have been with the consent or some kind of consultation with Matthew Leveson's family?
I have no doubt that whatever the Attorney General has done, she's done in the light of communications from Matthew Leveson's family, whether from all members of the family and whether they all took the same view or not, I don't know.
Mm. So I guess the final question is, in what circumstances, if any, could charges over Matthew Leveson's death be brought in the future? But perhaps more importantly, in your view as a former Supreme Court judge, is this good practice of the law in this country?
Well, when you say is this, the granting of immunities in appropriate cases has been reviewed by the highest courts. It's been in effect for a very long period of time. It is a well-known and, if properly implemented, entirely appropriate weapon to use to obtain justice. So I'm not going to suggest at all that there should not be such things. In this particular case, and what's gone on in this particular case, I'm in no position to comment because I don't know the detail and I don't know the negotiations. That's one of the things that is a bit worrying about it, because it has attracted so much publicity yet people don't know why it should be justified in the individual case.
Yes. All right, Greg, thank you so much for helping us and trying to help us work this out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fran.
Greg James, QC, is a former Supreme Court judge and Royal Commissioner, just returned to the bar.